in the comfy chair.
You're the man gonna get us there.
I don't know. Lenin couldn't do it. I don't know. Stalin couldn't do it. Now they couldn't do it. Why you think I came? Right, it's goddamn on the boots on me.
It all started in January of 1970. 40 years later, we still play your freeform music. WMFO's annual drive is in effect. We need your support to keep WMFO running so we can keep giving you your favorite music and bringing you the shows you love, such as The Lounge, On the Town with Mikey D, Bubbles in the Think Tank, and many more. Donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check made payable to trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO. P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you from all of us at your freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
She's a deep forest green, I'm a midnight blue. There's no moon in the sky, and that reminds me of you. I'm an open book that nobody can read. When we first met, you stole the breath right out of me. Now I'm wandering around with an anvil on my chest, replaying the mistakes and wishing I just left. People are like puzzles, all broken up and scattered. If we never met, I wouldn't feel so shattered. I wouldn't know your favorite color, and you wouldn't know mine.
And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. It's 10 a.m. on Monday morning, and that means this is Herd Mentality. So I'm talking today with one Carolyn Margulies. Did I do it right? Margulies. Okay.
Margulies.
All right. We're working on it. It's a work in progress.
That's the next show. Yeah.
All right. And we're talking identity theory. So, Carolyn, you're a senior here at Tufts. You are a French and sociology major, correct?
I am. Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going. Yeah, I'm in a class on French surrealism, and like, it's really hard because I just don't know if I'm doing well because it's like supposed to be surrealist. So I like just kind of say things, and the professor just usually nods, and he wears like a houndstooth jacket. It's really cool. It's a good time.
Fair. All right. Well, hey, that sounds wonderful. And we can save that for another day, I'm sure. But today we're talking identity theory, and what's like the 7-second definition of kind of what that means?
Identity theory is a field of sociological thinking where it looks at how different aspects of like society and life and the family form the ways in which we perceive the self.
Okay. How we perceive the self.
Yeah.
Very important in this very narcissistic age to understand how we perceive ourselves, because we're always right and we're always the best, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Just get that out of the way. All right. Cool. So a big part of our identity, right, is our gender, right?
Yeah, yeah, gender kind of, like, dictates so many different things that, like, we might not even see sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is gender, then?
That's a fun question. Gender is, to just kind of a brief overview, it is the ways, it's the norms to which we ascribe, so, like, the things we do depending on the sex that we're assigned or designated at birth.
Okay.
So, like, if you're born with a penis, often they're like, okay, well, you will be a boy, you will become a man. So, like, you will wear, like, like manly smelling deodorants and you wear jeans and a Patriots t-shirt and you'll have a beard. I'm describing.
I am wearing a Patriots t-shirt. That's okay. Unrelated.
And then like if you have a vagina, so they'll be like, okay, you will be a woman and you'll do what I do every morning, which is like put on eyeshadow and girly smelling deodorant. Mm-hmm. But it also like has other implications besides how you like look. So oftentimes it'll be like, okay, if you're a girl, you're supposed to be shy or you're supposed to be like flirty and stuff. If you're a man, you're like a very manly man and you do manly things. You chop down wood or a lumberjack and stuff.
Chop down that wood.
Yeah, I'm on a class on masculinity and the phrase lumbersexual comes up about once every class, which is
wow.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
But that might not work for everyone, yeah?
Right. Okay. So that doesn't work for everyone. So in the news very recently, and I mean for decades, but very, very recently, at least in pop culture, like you see people who are transgender. So Transgender means that you don't identify with the like gender you were assigned at birth. So like the biggest example is Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay.
Was designated a male at birth, and then now she goes, she is Caitlyn, she is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
However, it sometimes often has like other, it doesn't exactly have to be a man who starts to identify as a woman or a woman who starts to identify as a man.
Okay.
There's a big gender identity category called being non-binary.
Right.
And that means that you don't identify as male or female, because if you think about it in terms of like a spectrum with male on one side and female on the other, it's someone who's just like either smack in the middle or just like doesn't fit into one or the other and doesn't think that one of the binary categories as in male or female is properly like that's how they identify.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how might that manifest for somebody who's never met a non-binary person, you know, what's kind of the way, so can they like kind of take some from one side, take some from the other?
Yeah. I mean, one really wonderful thing about the like term non-binary and that also can be kind of annoying is that like it is such a big term. And so There are so many subcategories within being non-binary, such as being genderqueer, which is like Judith Butler's theory on gender, which is super dense and it's super complicated. I barely understand it. But yeah, and so it's like generally though, yeah, you can just be like, I used to identify as a woman, but I'm going to use they pronouns. And
right.
Then you can do things that would be seen as deviant to your gender. So deviant just means like not what is considered normal.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so you bring up an interesting thing. So you just use they. So already kind of our language is already implying certain things about how we're using the idea of gender, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you refer to me, you would use she. But like for someone who's non-binary, it doesn't have to be this way. But often people will use they pronouns. So They, them, and theirs, or zizim, zir. Yeah, they're just like there are a lot of different more gender neutral pronouns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which do exactly the same thing. Once you get the hang of them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it just takes a little practice, but yeah.
Okay, so that's a pretty overt way that gender manifests in our language. What are some of the more subtle ways that it might, or maybe not in our language, maybe in another language?
Yeah, so like something, well, what I'm doing research on is actually how people with non-binary gender identities, so people who like in English would use they pronouns, how they understand those identities in the context of the French language. So I speak French, and if you've never taken a French class or a Romance language class before, just kind of the 2 second thing of it is the language is super gendered. In French, like adjectives are gendered, they have gender pronouns, even the term for they is gendered. And it's also kind of weird because if there's one man in the group, it automatically switches to being the masculine form of the word. And so Like, what are the implications of that too? Like if it's a room of 300 women, but one man, you automatically use the masculine form of they, which is like very weird. But yeah, and so kind of what I research is how people with non-binary gender identities can understand those identities given the fact that their language just like has completely rejected the idea of gender neutrality.
Interesting. Okay. So we're finding that people are, you know, using the language in a way that it wasn't maybe designed to, but it's somehow they're able to make it work.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the part of your research that's like, you know, the part you're digging into.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right, great. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get right into your research.
Great.
Sound okay? All right. we're back here. This is Herd Mentality. I'm talking to Carolyn about her thesis and research into non-binary kind of identity theories, especially in the French language. So let's talk about your research more specifically.
Yeah, so I am looking at things through a post-structuralist feminist theory. For those of you wondering what that means, I also don't know what that means. I just know that now we are post-structures.
Sorry, guys, we missed it.
Yeah, sorry. The structures just flew by so fast. Yeah, so what I'm looking at is kind of a rejection of what a lot of fields of thought are thinking right now, actually, which I realized the other day, which is kind of super scary. So basically what a lot of people argue in sociology and just kind of in the greater world is that you can't really understand something if you don't have a word for it. So something that, like, I've talked to a couple people about is the idea of, and Thomas, you're gonna have to help me with this, Schadenfreude? Thank you.
I think I'm by no means a German scholar, but, you know.
I think you're doing a little better than I am on this one. Right, so that's the idea that you are deriving pleasure from someone else's pain.
Right.
But the big question is, like, did people ever, if you speak English and you didn't know that word, could you really have that emotion? So the idea is, like, can you understand something if you don't have a word for it? And a lot of people argue yes, because language in post-structuralist feminist theory, I need to stop saying that, I just feel really good when I say it. In this school of thought,
there you go.
You can't understand something if you don't have language for it.
Okay.
Basically, the whole idea is that language is how you talk about experience, and so if you're experiencing something but can't put it into language, does it even really happen? You know?
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what I'm looking at, because theoretically, if you look at it that way, people with non-binary gender identities just, like, shouldn't have those identities. Like, the French language is structured in a way where, like, there is no room for gender neutrality.
Okay.
And something also that's weird about the French language, at least in France, is that it's, like, governed by a body, and it sounds so silly talking about it, it's governed by a body called the Académie Française, which is just, like, the French Academy, and it's all these, like, writers and philosophers and people who are, like, very famous French. It's a very prestigious position.
Okay.
And they get to say what is and what is not proper in the French language.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, historically, there's been all this drama with, like, who's been accepted to the Academy and, like, blah, blah, blah. But it's very weird because they get to say, like, they've, like, very much just actively been like, no, we will not have gender neutrality. Like, they had a ruling very recently where they're like, that's just not going to be a thing.
Okay.
And, like, French is very tied into the culture, and so this is seen as, like, something that is very important for the French culture and for French society. And so, like, if we destroy the language, what will happen to French society? Oh, no.
Right, and for those who've never met a French person, they take their culture pretty seriously.
Very seriously. Very seriously. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, so kind of this idea, okay, so if you can't directly put a word on, you know, your experience or maybe your identity, how do you express that? So what are, maybe if language isn't the primary way, there are other ways we express our identity, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can express your identity through your dress and through your behavior and stuff like that. Like, if you ever, like, watch how, just, like, specifically how, like, at parties, for example, like, how a guy interacts with people versus how a girl interacts with
right.
people, like, you'll notice, like, very stark differences, and that's just because of the way in which people are raised. I mean, that's socialization, because of family, because of school, because of the media, whatever it may be. And so, like, just behavior is another way in which, like, people can express these things. Yeah. But something also that's very weird about this research is that, like, something I've kind of been looking at is, how can you have an identity if no one else recognizes it?
Okay.
So something that I've been looking a lot into is what identity really means. And mm-hmm. so kind of the way it breaks down is, like, identity is half how you see yourself. So, like, I identify as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, also half of how, like, other people perceive you. So, like, right. if I identify as a woman, but people do not read me as a woman, in sociology, or just, like, in terms, it's being called being read, and so it's, like, how other people see you and how they understand you.
Okay.
Like, what assumptions they make about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you see me and you assume that I am not a woman, does that invalidate my identity, and does that mean that I don't have that identity? Because
Interesting.
So, like, if you're sitting alone, if it's like a tree falls at first, but if you're sitting alone in a room and there's no one there who can prove your masculinity, are you really a man?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, how do we test this? How do we get to the crux? Is there a way?
I have no idea. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to do with my research. I'm just kind of asking people, like, what they think gender means. In French, like, the word genre is generally used to replace gender, but it, like, still doesn't have as, like, clearly defined, like, definition as it probably does in English. And then, like, what being non-binary means and how people explain that and how they perform that. And just seeing if there are differences in, like, how they can use their own language and kind of go around the language, or just kind of use what already exists in the language and in the societal structures to, I mean, reject the society almost in a way.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Do you have any fun examples from French?
I'm trying to think. I mean, so none of it's fun.
Okay, maybe, I mean, fun's the wrong word.
I think it's interesting.
All right.
I don't know. There are other pronouns that are used.
Okay.
And so one big movement is like using yel, I-E-L.
I-E-L, okay.
Yeah, so in French, the he form of the, like, he as a pronoun is il, I-L.
Mm-hmm.
And then female, like, she is E-L-L-E. And so mm-hmm. it's kind of a mixture of the two, which is really cool because
all
it's
right.
like creating their own, like, language. And it gets, like, I'm in a Facebook group for it's like, it happens to be like the, exactly what my research is, which is so exciting. It's for people with non-binary and transgender identities and other, like, LGBT members of the LGBTQ community, who speak French and who are in Francophone countries, which mm-hmm. is really cool. And so, like, on that page, people do their pronouns and they'll be like, oh, I use the yel pronoun, and then they, like, change the grammar in that way to suit their, like, themselves and their own gender identity, which is so cool. But besides, I mean, it's just, like, also a lot of people being like, nobody respects me, and that just sucks to see.
Yeah. I imagine this doesn't go over quite as well at the Academy.
Right. At the Academy.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, but that was really interesting. I also thought it was cool, like, to join the Facebook group in the first place. They asked two questions. It's like, what do you plan on doing here? And then list all of your privileges,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really cool because that was something where I was like, oh, like, that's very, like, making people take a step back and think about all the ways in which, like, how they go about the world, which is really cool, which I don't think people do enough. I'm also a sociology major, so, like, I just think too much about that stuff,
sure.
maybe. But yeah, and so I was like, as an ally to the LGBTQ community, like, I plan on, like, supporting people in this way, blah, blah, blah. And then one thing that came up, though, with the privileges is that in France, and I always forget this, they don't talk about race.
And right, okay.
Right, and so France very much, like, in France, there's just, like, no, because I was, you know, trying to do, like, make sure I use all the proper terms, being, like cisgender, like, cisgenre in French.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I was like, how do you say, like, I'm a white cisgender heterosexual woman? And then they're like, huh, don't you mean just a cisgender heterosexual woman? And it's just weird because, like, it's kind of the mentality of, like, if we don't talk about it, there can't be, it doesn't exist, and therefore there can't be a problem with it.
How do they really not talk about it? Like,
it's shocking. It is shocking every time I
like, what do you do? Like, you know,
you just don't.
You just don't?
You just don't.
How do they just not?
They just
that
don't.
That baffles me.
Yeah. And that's kind of a problem that they also have with gender, is
okay.
that, like, something that I know from, like, I studied abroad in Geneva, doing a little hair flip. I
Wonderful.
Studied abroad. but yeah, like, gender is not something that's really talked about either. I took classes at the University of Geneva while I was studying abroad, hair flip, every time.
I can sense the culture. It's just
really,
it's too much.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was taking classes, and I'm specifically within sociology. I look at, like, gender and sexuality and social movements and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll just take, like, a class on gender and French. That could be really interesting, but they only have it in master's programs.
Oh.
And so, like, you can't be introduced to gender theory in, like, France and a lot of French-speaking countries unless you, like, already have, like, a bachelor's degree in sociology and are pursuing a master's. And, like, which is very different than here, because, like, I took sex and gender and society in sociology, like, my freshman year, and then I did sexuality in society and, like, sexual deviancy, which was a wild class. but yeah, so it was just like, it's just very weird that, like, there, it's just something where it's like, if we don't talk about it, there can't be a problem in gender. What?
Right. Yeah. No, that's really interesting, because I took a bunch of classes on, like, race in France and kind of how they deal with that. And one of the interesting that comes up is they have this term, what is it, like, français de souche? Which is like French,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really say anything, but
right.
says everything.
Right.
That's basically their term that says, this is what our idea of French is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like, French, oh, he's just French. But then if you are some kind of other deviating from that norm,
right.
then it's just, you're just not. in a way, you're not French.
You're not.
It's kind of, you know, that's kind of what they're saying.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Woof. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Thanks for some really fun research.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. Well, let's take one last break, and then we'll just we'll bring it home.
Amazing.
All right.
Amazing.
Back here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. You're listening to Herd Mentality, and we're talking gender theory. We're doing it. All right, so we want to bring this home before we hit the halfway point of the show. So, Carolyn, what can, you know, somebody who's listening to this, who's never really thought about gender theory maybe that in depth, or they've never, you know, met somebody who doesn't fall easily into our normal-ish conventions of gender theory, you know, right. What can they take from this that'll be helpful?
I mean, the thing I get asked the most about with my research is like, okay, so like, I know, and it always starts with someone being like, okay, like you probably, like, I know someone who uses they pronouns. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, like, and then they just kind of stop talking because they don't know where to go from there.
Okay.
Just like, I guess just like, if you're interested, just like obviously look up things and just, but like, if you're curious and being like, how can people like not experience being a man if they have a penis, just like Google it.
Okay.
Google what transgender means.
Careful on the wording of that Google search.
Right. yeah, put safe search on for that one. no, but like just kind of, and if you know someone who is transgender and you're interested, just like, I think it's interesting talking to people about their gender, but don't be like, tell me everything that you feel right now. but I guess just like respecting people. I mean, so I had never met a person who used they pronouns until I worked at summer camp, the summer after freshman year of college. And then one of my co-counselors, Wes, they use they pronouns. And it straight up just took work. And I went home, or I went back to the cabin every day. And I would just be like, Wes Anderson, it is their book. They own this book. This is their book. This is theirs. Right. And like, I just practiced it, and that is what you do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, what happens a lot is if someone is like uses they pronouns and someone else misgenders them, and we'll be like, oh, she. And if like they get corrected, the person who misgendered them will be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm really stressed right now. Like, I totally know this, but like, I'm so sorry. Just like, don't make it about you.
Okay.
This is not about you. Like, just say, sorry, they, like, sorry, correct yourself and then move on with your life. But like, go home and practice. It's not actually that difficult if you actually like work on it and stuff.
Yeah.
And also just like, don't stare, don't make weird comments. Just like, which I don't know. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. Like, I've seen a lot of weird things. Yeah, I guess just like if you're really curious about things, just like educate yourself and just like read books on gender theory.
Sure.
Don't go straight to Judith Butler. I have been reading Judith Butler's work, I swear to you, since like the first week of freshman year, and I truly still do not get it. I had a professor that came in with like a quasi meme of like a cat explaining Judith Butler one time.
Fun.
And like, I think about it a lot, actually. It didn't help anything. I just think about that day.
Is there like a Judith Butler light that maybe somebody could start with?
Wes Zimmerman's Doing Gender is okay. Really good. Yeah, I think that's just kind of a lot of the basis of theory. And then if you want to just kind of learn about identity and like how people see yourself, look into identity theory.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just also like be conscious of like the ways in which you treat kids. A lot of my research has
interesting
to do with,
okay,
like education and the ways in which like families treat their kids and how that changes things. So like if you have a child one day hopefully not in the near future, at least for me. Like, if you have a kid and you have a daughter and she wants to play with Legos and stuff, which is, like, I was super into Legos. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents very much encouraged that. Like, I thought I wanted to be an architect forever. And Great. Then, like, I failed Cal 2, and Here we are as a French major. But, like, don't discourage that. Just, and don't make the whole thing of, like, oh, women are bad at science. Because that actually does have, like...
Because they're not. They're great at it.
We are great at science. I'm bad at math, but that does not mean that women can't be great at math.
There are a lot of people who... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right, as a physics...
I've been completely humbled by coming to higher education.
Exactly.
And getting my butt whooped by people who are not my gender, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, it happens. Which is great, but just, like... Don't assume things, I guess, based off of gender.
And absolutely.
Like, yeah, people are people, and it's very silly the ways in which we, like, kind of break that down based off of, like, something that we're told we have to do at birth.
Right.
Yeah.
People are people.
People, if nothing else you've learned from today, just remember this. People are people.
People are people.
Yeah.
I like that. All right.
A bumper sticker right there.
Is that a good way to end? Do you have anything else you want to plug about, you know, gender theory, identity theory?
If you go to Tufts, take a sociology class. I cannot emphasize enough how wonderful the sociology department is. Women, gender, and sexuality studies, also a wonderful department. Also the romance language department. I'd like to say hi to my dad, who might be listening right now. My mom is at work. There's a protest going on that she has to deal with in Jacksonville. Classic neo-Nazis protesting.
Yikes. Hate to see it.
You do actually hate to see it. You really actually do.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, all right. So Wes Zimmerman... Yeah, that's about it. So long and short of identity theory of non-binary people who speak the French language. You know, just.
I think we successfully scratched the surface.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
There is a lot more to uncover there and to understand, especially when you think about this. I had never really thought about it in a global context, but I'm happy to see that, you know, people in France are finally tackling this. So, yeah, I think that'll be really, especially in, you know, other cultures, like, what if, you know, in Arabic-speaking cultures, in, like, some, like, Chinese culture, you
right.
know, I'm very curious how the different forms of language. Yeah.
It's very weird. And I also was talking to my roommate the other day about, like, in sign language, also the weird, like, nuances of, like, gender in sign language.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's, like, she was explaining to me that when someone is in the room with you and you're talking about them, you just point to them. But, like, often if they're not in the room, it's like there's no word for singular parent. It's either, like, mother or father. And then they have a word for parents, but, like, no singular for that. So, like, what does that mean?
Okay.
And then also she was explaining that, like, most of the signs for, like, that have to do with, like, men, I think, just are from, like, the cheekbones up or, like, the nose up. And then for women, it's the lower half of the face. So, like, what does that mean?
Whoa.
Ooh, subtleties.
That's really interesting. Well, especially because that's such a recent language. So we could actually, you know, I'm sure it's relatively, fairly well documented,
right.
Like, kind of how they came up with kind of some of these. I hope so.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. It is by far out of the scope of my research. I just thought it was really interesting when
you
talked about that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, so if anybody really wants to uncover something new, maybe in identity and gender theory, study how American Sign Language.
Yeah, here's thesis. I can't say the word out loud.
Thesis.
I like have an I like on my phone every time I type out the word, it has an asterisk that goes into it just so I don't see the word in its full form. Yeah,
that word which shall not be named.
Yeah, it's it is truly the Voldemort of my vocabulary.
Hey, he could be listening.
Hey, and if he is, he's listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Radio.
Medford. Yeah, you got it.
I've never been here. That's not
that's okay. That was a good first time. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Carolyn, thank you for coming in. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's the first half of the show, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. And the second half will be moving into some more music. So stick around to listen to more Herd Mentality on, you got it?
91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Oh, great job.
I've been practicing. Yes, I've never seen Norwegians at war. That's what you told me, baby, that day. followed you, baby, but was looking for the answer. Will you try to break my mind? Always known that the light could change. All my jetty, all the roses, probably rule the world someday. Yes, then we will. But didn't it rain? Didn't it thunder? Oh, heavens were high and you were caught under. Were you trying to break my mind? Always knowing that the lights could change. Oh, my jetty, all the you dream.
There you have the wonderful, his golden messenger. So the theme for today is Thanksgiving, in a way, because these are all just songs that I'm thankful for, that I love, and it's a total eclectic hodgepodge, but I think it's some of the best music worth listening to. You know, this is basically, in two cents, this is the music that I listen to every day that gets me through, and for it, I am thankful. So we'll just keep rolling through and listening to some great music, because it's almost Thanksgiving, and it might as well be a good time to reflect and be thankful for the little things that get us through the day, like amazing songs. So yeah, that was Jenny of the Roses off of his Golden Messenger's latest album called Hallelujah Anyhow. And I believe he is playing, well, in light of today's show, they are playing they're playing at the Sinclair, yeah, on December 6th. So if you want to see his Golden Messenger coming to Boston early December, check that out. Google it, HISS, 2 S's, Golden Messenger. Wonderful, wonderful group there. All right, and we'll just keep cruising along through some more amazing, amazing music. So yeah, stick around.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance. Won't you tell me? it off my back. Tell him what we said about painted black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside, well, it's okay. Now shake you. Ooh.
Oh, the amazing Big Star, the wonderful kind of pop rockers out of the 70s with that song 13 of their timeless record called Number One Record. Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. That song gets me every time. So I want to plug a quick thing that we're doing at Tufts. If you listen to the show, you've heard me do this before. So every Sunday, we have a free music concert at our wonderful music center here on campus, the Tufts Granoff Music Center. And it's at 3 p.m. every Sunday, and it's a free show, so you can just show up. And as long as there's room, come in, sit, and have a great time. And this coming Sunday, so it'll be the Sunday after Thanksgiving up here, it's the Tufts Flute Ensemble. So they're presenting interesting, thought-provoking, and fun music from the Baroque to the 21st century for piccolos, sea flutes, alto, and bass flutes. Wow, that's a lot of flutes. I can only hope it's going to be amazing. And Nina Barwell is going to be directing. Free, no tickets. So, you know, bring your friends, bring your family, bring your kids, bring your, I don't know, probably anything but your pets. And communicable diseases, please. Please show up, because they do a wonderful job every week, and it's totally free. So come check out some, you know, free, fun music. That's sounds like a no-brainer to me. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, plugged. There we go. Your PSA. For now, I have to play one more later in the show, but, you know, we'll get there when we get there. And then, back to more music, how about? Because we don't even play commercials, really. We just kind of talk at you. That's pretty cool, right? Yeah, all right. I think it's cool. Anyway, all right. So here we go. More music. Be thankful. Well, sorry, that's aggressive. Be thankful, because we all have so much, even when we feel like we have so little. Yeah? That poignant? All right.
Not the long flowing dress that you're in, or the light coming off of your skin, the fragile heart you protected for so long, or the mercy in your sense of right and wrong. It's not your hands searching slow in the dark, or your nails leaving love's watermark. It's not the way you talk me off the roof. Your questions like directions to the truth. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone.
Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone. If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke and laugh at all the lovers and their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find. Hope it isn't me who's left behind. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. One day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. One day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone.
Spectacular Sparkle Horse there. You know, sad to see such an artist go. Yeah, that was Heart of Darkness off of his first album, which I will not even dare try to pronounce. Viva Dixie's Submarine Plot? I forget. Oh, gosh, it's a lot. And then before that, we were listening to Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Him and his wife there on that track singing If We Were Vampires from their from that single that they released called If We Were Vampires. And now I must plug a quick donation PSA just so we're, making sure that WMFO stays on the air.
WMFO annual drive is in effect. We're looking to raise $5,000 to continue to keep your freeform station playing your favorite music. WMFO is a nonprofit station with staff, students, and community members who volunteer their time to bring you their favorite music and shows. We need your support to keep it all running, so donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check payable to trustees of Tufts College. Send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you for your support from all of us here at your freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
Again, there, the wonderful musings of Sparkle Horse, the late, the great Sparkle Horse. All right, so yeah, that was Don't Take My Sunshine Away, a wonderful homage to Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds there. And now we'll just bring it home with some of the best music I've been listening to from this year and from maybe one from last year. But yeah, just a little more recent stuff, and then you're off. You're on your way onto the rest of your week. So thank you so much for tuning in to listen to me blab, and hopefully you enjoyed my conversation with Carolyn earlier. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, you're listening to Herd Mentality here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Maybe I listen more than you think, and I can tell that somebody sold you. We said we'd never let anyone in. We said we'd only die of lonely secrets. The system only dreams in total darkness. Why are you hiding from me? We're in a different kind of thing now. All night you're talking to God.
There you have The National with their latest album and the very hot track off of that called The System Only Dreams in Total Darkness. That album's called Sleep Well Beast. Please check it out and support them because they make amazing music year in and year out. Well, folks, we're about at that time, so I got one more song for you before I pass it on to the next DJ in the line here, because as far as I know, we're broadcasting with DJs 24 hours. We have scheduled DJs 24 hours every day of the week, which is amazing. You find another station that does that. Anyway, all right, just another reason to maybe donate if you see fit. But I'll stop blabbing now, and we'll finish with some more wonderful music. So thank you so much for listening to me, Thomas Keller, here on Herd Mentality. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
I left her. Pretty sure you said no way. All on the corners of your bed, but you got too much to wear on your sleeves. It has too much to do with me, and secretly I want to bury in the yard the gray remains of a friendship scar.